This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Hey, it's the Jocks Roundtable as we get going on a Thursday. Football returns in America tonight. We've got Houston and Tulane in the college game. That'll be fun on ESPN. And then you have Thursday night football in the NFL. Titans and Jaguars, they get going on the NFL Network tonight with divisional implications there, especially for the Tennessee Titans. So we'll get into those games, what Nick Saban had to say last night about the injury to LeBryan Ray as that becomes a little bit more clear. But we start off with something that I think is really interesting, and that's the debate over bad play or dirty play or a clean play in football. It's a physical sport. And two things happened yesterday when it comes to that. One of them, when the college game, will go first. If you will go back to Felipe Franks getting injured Saturday night up in Lexington, Florida, and Kentucky. It's an injury that's going to keep him out for the rest of the year. We'll see if he comes back next year. But there are some in the Florida circles that have believed that Cash Daniel, the linebacker for Kentucky, may have twisted an ankle or, sort of increased the injury there to Felipe Franks. Cash Daniel yesterday finally had an opportunity to explain what happened in the pile and why, to some people, it may look like he was twisting, but he says he's a gritty player. He plays with a certain kind of mentality, but he's not a dirty player. Here's Cash Daniel.
Do I talk a lot of crap? Absolutely. And do I bump a dude here and there to get underneath the skin and talk while I'm doing it? Absolutely. That's my part of my game. That's what I do. But am I out there to deliberately hurt somebody? Absolutely not. I've kept my mouth shut about it. I've been biting my tongue about it as long as I can because that's something that I actually hold close to me. I'm a victim of a dirty play. If you don't believe me, I got a plate and 7 screws in my right ankle to prove that. I got a scar running halfway down my leg. So I'm not out there to hurt anybody. My hand that I had surgery on, this one got stepped on as it was going down. This surgery repaired hand has 2 screws in it. If enough weight's still on it, still hurts like you know what. My hand's caught underneath here. I instantly get stepped on. I'm trying to move around. I pull my hand out there at last second because I just pulled it out. There was like, I got it stuck underneath a lineman's leg with all that weight on it. Then I pulled it free from that, kept moving stuff, kept hitting legs and stuff, and finally it came through. Maybe he felt something weird, I don't know, but I'm not out there to twist nobody's ankle, hurt nobody. End of story.
What did he say to you afterwards?
I don't know. I heard something 56, and I play with the FU mentality, so when I hear my number, somebody says, I'm going to turn around and say something right back to him.
That's Cash Daniel of Kentucky yesterday talking to reporters, trying to clean up what he believes now is a lot of Florida folks saying that that was a dirty play. You guys have seen it. Didn't seem like a dirty play to me, and I didn't see ankle twisting coming out. Maybe I was looking at it from a different view than you guys.
Well, for whatever reason, that game has been on like 15 times again this week. So I've actually seen the play again. And I go back to USC week 1 against Fresno State when JT Daniels goes down, and USC fans were upset over that. I think anytime you lose your quarterback, you dig and you try to find something when there's contact in the play. I didn't see anything with the Daniels injury against Fresno. I didn't see anything that Cash Daniels did wrong.
The thing on the Daniels injury was he fumbled the ball, and that's where a lot of people, because there was a Fresno defender coming in trying to fall on the ball. Because Daniels, I don't know if it had been ruled a fumble or not.
Right. But it looked like a late hit.
Yeah, it looked like a late hit because he was coming in after the ball because Daniels kind of let it go when he went down on the injury. You see that sometimes. The thing on the Franks deal is ESPN had an angle they didn't show us. If you were watching that game live or, as Lance said, one of the 15 replays on that ESPN classic game.
It was a pretty good game, though.
Yeah, it's a good finish. If you watch that, ESPN basically said, hey, we've got, we're not going to show you the replay. They had an angle that, because Lance, where you first saw it was, the high angle cameras, the high 20 cameras, and you saw Felipe Franks get bent backwards, and anybody watching knew that don't look good.
Right.
Well, especially if you're not replaying.
Yeah. So we haven't seen all the angles.
They're not replaying it because of the injury, not protecting Cash.
No, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying you might not have seen an angle that Florida has seen, because they've got the high end zone cameras. They've got, you know, some other angles available to them maybe that we haven't seen. So maybe we haven't seen all the footage that shows that.
Okay, you're saying that maybe the Florida people that are saying this are...
They've seen some, we haven't.
Seen it, and they may see him grab the ankle and twist it. But it's one of those injuries that didn't cause the injury.
I don't think so.
It could have added to the pain or anything.
Well, if anything, Kentucky fans would be upset. If it was malicious, he lost the game for him. Because if Frank stays in the game, they don't win that game.
I know.
I agree 100%. It was a game changer with Kyle Trask. But that just gets me to what I think is really a big story as we move into another weekend of the NFL as well. Jamal Adams yesterday, he gets fined $21,000 in change for a hit on Baker Mayfield where he basically just pushed him to the ground after the throw. And listen, we can protect these quarterbacks all you want. We can protect them. And 15 yards is 15 yards. But the fact that this guy is having to come out of pocket, and I know $21,000 to them is not $21,000 to you and me, but the fact that he's having to come out of his pocket for $1 on that, I understand the 15 yards in the game, but for him to have to come out for $1, let alone $21,000 for that, it's ridiculous. I understand the penalty where we are protecting these guys. I don't understand a fine in this situation.
I mean, I don't get it. Look, and, you know, this is going to sound conflicting because just, what was it, Tuesday, I was saying, look, the Monday Night Football game shows you why they have such a strict roughing the passer rule, because who wanted to watch Trevor Siemian battle against Baker Mayfield? Nobody wants to see that. I don't even think Trevor Siemian's wife wants to see that. I think she'd prefer him stand over there and draw the paycheck. So the NFL is going to protect quarterbacks, but Lance, it's kind of the point. And here's where this is the part of the rule that I think most people get frustrated about is the weight on the quarterback. So I think the intent on this rule was when you pick the quarterback up and drive him into the ground, you've put all your weight on him. That's what they're trying to avoid. But anymore, if you just hit the guy and fall on top of him, basically, they're saying you hit him with your full weight and it's going to be a flag.
It's almost because you are one of these guys and you are contradicting yourself just a little bit.
A little bit.
You have said before that you've got to protect these quarterbacks or we are going to get the Trevor Siemian.
That's true, though. That is 100%
true. Well, it's almost, if we're going to get to this point where you're going to fine for a type of hit like that you're looking at, by the way, it's almost just like you can't tackle the quarterback anymore. Let's just make it, let's put flags on the quarterback and let's just make it where you can't tackle.
But he takes two steps and lowers his shoulder and hits him. Look, and
Baker Mayfield's off balance.
Baker Mayfield was rolling to his left. It's why he fell down. I don't even think Baker Mayfield was acting. I think he was rolling to his left, fell down.
If Baker Mayfield's going to his right, he doesn't fall.
Yeah, there's a good chance Baker falls without the bump. But it's a bump. It's a bump afterwards. And 15 yards is 15 yards. And, okay, flag that. It was two extra
steps. Yeah, but why are you getting fined?
Right, but
why are
you go back and look at that? There's no way that's malicious.
Yeah. It's not malicious. Yeah. He shouldn't be fined. I'm fine with a 15-yarder, but don't fine
that's
the guy.
Stupid.
Hey, and by the way, it's touchy on whether it should have even been 15
yards.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a borderline personal foul.
But
I agree.
I love the way Jamal Adams plays. And if you heard Booger McFarland, whether you like him or not on the broadcast, when he came out and he said he plays like Brian Dawkins, totally agree with that. The old safety for the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's right.
But Jamal Adams, I love him coming out on social media, and he says, "Look, I'm going to play my brand capitalized every single time I step on the field."
I think the more alarming one, and I don't know if you guys have seen Raekwon McMillan of the Dolphins, and I do not blame you for paying any attention to the Dolphins, but Raekwon McMillan told the Miami Herald that Bill Vinovich, the head official in the Miami-New England game Sunday, told him, quote, "stay off Tom" when he hit Tom Brady. Now, that's Raekwon McMillan saying that, and I don't think Bill Vinovich will come back with any sort of interview. I doubt he does interviews about what he said in the game.
So
but he's
saying,
claiming he was told, stay off Tom.
Yeah, so first name, first of all, would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
And don't tell me what to do. Just police what I'm doing.
Yeah, stay off the goat.
But don't you think this has been said, not just with Tom Brady, but other quarterbacks? I don't know if they're going to say stay off, you know, Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you officials have said this to defenders about other quarterbacks before.
Maybe so.
Let's keep it clean.
Yeah.
Let's stay off Breeze today.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If you're using their name, it sounds like they're very friendly.
It does sound a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
If
Tommy B now.
Yeah. If he'd have said stay off the QB.
Yeah.
But if he comes back and say stay off Giselle's boy.
Yeah.
So if Haney came to me before the show and was like, stay off Dunaway today.
Yeah, stay off Dunaway.
Yeah.
It felt like he's taking sides there, right? Now, again, that's what Raekwon McMillan said. There are two sides to that story. And, again, the head officials don't come out and do interviews. But it is. It's going on all over the league.
And it is. And I understand the falling on because who was it? Was it Chubb? Who was the guy with the
Bradley Bronx? Chubb got called, and he and said something to the official. Yeah,
that was weight on the quarterback. Yep. And I understand that. That's you're breaking collarbones at that point. You're injuring shoulders. I mean, it used to be that's the way you took the quarterback to the ground. As you were going to the ground, you made sure that you gave him every pound of your 290 pounds to force him into the turf. I understand that. I understand. This was not that. This guy did not fall on Baker Mayfield. He basically bumped Baker Mayfield while he was throwing off balance, and he's coming out of pocket for $21,000.
But I don't blame the officials. I blame the league. It's the league that they're telling the officials how to call this. I don't think these guys are out there looking to throw a flag for roughing the passer. I think they know they're going to get graded poorly if they don't.
Hey, maybe I'm just forgetful. It doesn't seem like the quarterbacks got hurt nearly as much when they used to get driven into the ground.
It does seem like because we hit them all the time that they – like, I don't remember
it's
Terry.
It's like their immune system.
Yeah, it's like Terry Bradshaw and Roger Staubach, who was a running quarterback, by the way, in the 70s.
Well,
I don't remember those guys missing games.
For our younger listeners, in 1985, when the Bears were so dominant and everybody hated Jim McMahon, I mean, one of the dirtiest plays you'll ever see, I think Charles Martin was the Green Bay Packer defender, when he picks him up and just completely slams him away from the play. I think it was after an interception. Body slams him to the turf. I don't think McMahon missed a play.
Probably
and
not.
Today, a quarterback would evaporate.
Yeah.
And disintegrate.
You had players in that era come out with guys' numbers on their towel, Lance. Who was that? Who was the defender that had the number on the towel? You remember that? It was his bounty towel?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was probably one of the Eagles.
Yeah.
Probably somebody playing for Buddy Ryan.
They wouldn't let you. Yeah, I think it was.
Or maybe it would have been the other side. Maybe somebody from the Bears.
But they wouldn't let you on the field now.
Like, we did not go to 16 games. Until well into the 80s and 90s, right?
No, it was 16
since I can remember.
16 in the early 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not until the 80s, right?
Yeah, I guess it was the 80s.
I mean, okay. when the Rams got to their first Super Bowl, they were 9-7, and that was 79. So
14 regular season games, 73. Staubach played them all, played 13 in 75, 14. So, I mean, he's playing 14 games every year for the end of his career. Now, if you look at his career, it ended in 1979. He came out of the Navy into the league in 69.
Well.
And he didn't even play full time for the first 4 years he was in the league. So the career was a lot shorter, but he went out there and played every week.
I think there's speculation that Joe Namath played an entire season at Alabama with a torn ACL, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I think the – I don't know if the ability to diagnose stuff was different back then, or if you just played through injury. I mean, it's just what you did. I don't guess you do that as much anymore.
Yeah. So it's a different game. We knew that. But when we're finding people when you really don't even make contact, 15 yards is one thing. I guess this is the NFL saying 15 yards isn't enough. It's not going to keep you from hitting the quarterback. You'll take the 15 all day long. We're just going to go ahead and we got to fine you too, or it's not really a penalty.
You want to take the next step, though? Here's the next step. Oh, you got it, Lance?
Yeah, I've got this. Yeah. I was just going to say, Jamal Adams getting fined $21,000 and change for that. What do you think Charles Martin, again, just Google the hit on Jim McMahon. What does he get for this?
McMahon throws it, takes two or three steps. Martin, they both stop, and then Martin just grabs him and body slams him.
Yeah, and that's old school artificial turf, too.
Yeah, it was slamming him into the concrete. But here's the other side of it. So this is the NFL, right? So on one sense.
And by the way, Mike Ditka is coaching in a trench coat. Yeah. He's got a trench coat and a Kango on.
Oh, it's cold. In one sense, you got teams that want to protect their players, right? But then in the other sense, everybody wants to win. Adam Schefter this morning is reporting. And this is amazing to me. This is the NFL. Jalen Ramsey wants a trade, right?
He does.
He says he wants out of Jacksonville. Adam Schefter is reporting that an NFL team reached out to the league office to ask them this question. If Jalen Ramsey played Thursday and we trade for him, could he play for us Sunday too?
It's a great question.
Well, I think the Players Association is going to say, nah.
Well, the league told him, no, it's one game per week per player. But can you imagine a team thinking this? Like, okay, well, he plays Thursday. We could acquire him Friday and then he could play for us Sunday.
Yeah, and then whoever plays Thursday, when getting back, play again Thursday.
Or Jalen just belts it around.
I look at potential destinations. I want him staying in the AFC.
Yeah, you don't want to have to throw against him.
No,
yeah,
he's a good player. Good player. Love to see him in Tampa. That'll never happen. All right, let's roll some calls. Let's go Beck first on a cell phone. Hey, Beck, how are you?
Doing great. How are you, Dunaway?
I'm fantastic.
I was calling to remind you about a steak bet you made with me last year.
You made steak bets with listeners now?
I'm say Beck's up a steak on you.
Yeah, I'm assuming he won.
People don't call back when they lose?
Nope.
Is this the one from down at the Grand Hotel?
You're exactly right. We were in the pool at the Grand Hotel.
Whoa.
You wanted the rundown of the big group of friends I was with sitting in the pool. And then one of my big, loud friends walks up, and he's got this little girl walking behind him. And you look at me, and you said, there's no way they're dating in a year. And I go, I'll get a steak bet on that. And you said, all right, let's do it. And you told me to call back on the show. And spoiler alert here, I hope his girlfriend's not listening, but he's going to pull the trigger on the engagement pretty soon.
Well, I hope she's not.
Either. Another way is done for a relationship.
Wait, now, I remember this. Now, hold on. And one of your friends was on our flight to Colombia and reminded me of this as well.
That's right.
But he was your loud fun guy in your group. I mean, your whole group was loud, but he was not annoying. No, I enjoyed it. I even told Maggie, that's why I went over to hang out for a second. I was like, they're having a blast. I miss those days. But he was the alpha in the group. He was the alpha in the group, right?
No doubt.
And yep. His soon-to-be fiance would give him looks, and she was not the alpha female of the group. She was sitting back and gave him a lot of looks like, oh, my God, would you turn it down a bit?
And it takes a special person to be able to hang out with an alpha for that long. So I see your point. You were playing against or playing with the odds that sooner or later she's going to get sick of this.
This is what we, Beck, call the reverse landmine here on the show. Dunaway bet against love, which he normally doesn't do, and apparently love has won.
Exactly. He landmined him into an engagement.
That is correct.
I think he's just doing this, Beck, so that you can get a free steak.
To prove you wrong, yeah.
I bet it's
a big step.
I'd go double or nothing, and they're not still together in 5 years.
All right, I'll call you back in 5 years.
No. I want to go to – let's go get a steak.
I'll jump on that one, too. Sight unseen.
No, yeah. But see, all the other – your other it's not like they were – but your other girlfriends and wives were all in the pool with you guys, and they were all having a good time. She seemed to be
extroverts lead to introverts.
Yeah.
Hey, so real quick, obviously she's not up at 6:23 listening. When's
you
he
don't
pop
know
the,
that. Let's be careful.
Is he popping the question like really soon? Is this why you're calling?
That's right. Probably in the next couple weeks. So I wanted to get in for that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we can either double or nothing on 5 years, or we can go get a steak at some point. But I do remember that one. So thanks for reminding me. And tell him nice job. And
I will. Thanks for your time. You're very generous.
Thank you. Nice. Tell your friend to hit me up, and we'll find a time to go to Fleming's, one of our great sponsors, and get a steak.
Yeah, Dunaway will take the whole group. Right? Bring everybody.
I know you don't pee in the pool. Did the friend, the alpha, look like the guy that doesn't get out because he's pruning, he wants to continue to drink his natty light seltzer, and doesn't want to get out?
I can't remember exactly what he was doing, but it was...
It was loud, whatever it was.
Well, not just the loud, but this group was having.
Did he have the big straw hat on?
I mean, they were there for a wedding. They owned the pool. You know, there's always one group that owns the pool. They owned the pool. I miss those days. And they owned the pool, and he was above the noise owning the pool.
He was like, Maggie, you're boring me. I didn't say that.
I miss those days.
I didn't say that.
The fun ones?
I didn't say that. I was just saying, stop reading. You can read
so
later on.
So what did you just slowly, like you got in the pool and you just slowly crept over made conversation with one.
You guys know I'm not a good swimmer, right?
Well, you said you asked for the rundown on the whole group.
Yeah, he's I'm not
good heroes. Let's do the killers on my beats.
No, I'm not a good swimmer. So the Grand Hotel is the perfect pool because
you can walk it.
I mean, basically, if you're on your tippy toes at when you're 5'10 and a half.
You're on your what?
When you're standing on your tiptoes at 5'10 and a half, you can keep the nose above the water no matter where you are.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I'm
standing in the pool, and their party gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bumps into the back of me is how it starts.
Yeah.
And realizing I was outnumbered, I didn't say anything back. I just
eased my way into the conversation with the guys.
And their fans,
I bet those two aren't dating in a year. And, Jim Dunaway, how are you doing?
We got a shot.
Yeah. No, I just it was a call. Obviously, the wrong one. He didn't seem like the settling down type at the point.
But you always bet on love. That's the weird thing. Like all these stake bets that involve couples, you're couples every time. Lance is the one that bets against it.
Yeah, I didn't think they were in love, Brown. He looked like he was still
playing the field.
Yeah, he looked like he was still out there a bit.
You know, most people do settle down though, Dunaway.
Who was?
What would you guess his age?
Oh, I can't remember.
Were they in their 20s?
Yo, easily in their 20s. I'd have put them between 28 and 32.
Who was winning the relationship? Like, was it better for him or better for her?
Basically saying who looked better.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I actually think she looked better. That's why I thought she wouldn't put up with this.
Yeah, that's why you thought he needed to dial it back, because he's going to lose a good-looking woman.
You know, in a pool, you can't see a wallet.
That's a great point. He did not have his he didn't have his credit report laid out for me. 626, Scoobs on a cell phone. Hey, Scoobs, how are you? Pat Dye's next. Hey, Scoobs.
Hey, how are y'all? Like great. In the pool, you can't see a wallet.
Yeah, that's true. Lance is right about that.
I got a couple of questions this morning. Dealing with LeBron Ray, and I got a couple of NFLs too. They released a kind of tentative timetable. Roughly, that's like, say, by the LSU game, right? They're thinking maybe, and the reason why that I'm asking is, do you think he's a viable piece in continuing against LSU?
I don't think so. I mean, the way Saban put it was, it's going to be at least 6 weeks. I'm not saying he can play in 6 weeks. I'm just saying 6 weeks starts the clock, basically.
Yeah. So, Scoobs, the way, as Brown points out, the way Nick was explaining it was 6 weeks before he can start doing anything to get back on the field. So, 6 weeks on the shelf is the way I took it. And then he can start doing some stuff to get onto the field eventually. So I wouldn't look 6 weeks down the road for LSU. I would think more. I think it'd be one of those, like you called yesterday, maybe for an SEC championship or the playoffs if they're lucky enough to get there.
Gotcha. So basically the 6 weeks is more or less just getting to the point of being able to start exercising. I got a question for Lance and a question for Brown really quickly. I have a family member that's a Dolphins fan. And I want to run this by you. He calls into your show a lot. And he was telling me, now, I thought this kind of sounded absurd. He said he would be all right with bringing Eli to the Dolphins on a 2-year deal.
Mm-mm.
And yeah, I know. Not tanking, maybe just getting a running back this year, and then we'll focus on a quarterback in 2 years. Briefly, what's your thoughts on that?
Me or Lance?
I think that's you.
Zero interest, because you would have to give something up for him. I don't want – if you're going to wait, just use what you got. You've already got Josh Rosen. You've already got Ryan Fitzpatrick. You're not trying to get better. You're trying to keep a good draft pick. So I would have zero interest in that. Now, if you go get an Eli Manning, it's like you're Dunaway. You're trying to be in the shallow end and the deep end at the same time.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Either be in the deep end or be in the shallow end.
I don't want it for you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even want you to –
zero interest. Zero interest.
I hear you. Lance, lastly, you starting Russell Wilson in fantasy this week or Patrick Mahomes? Have a good day, man.
Oh, boy, it's hard to pass on Mahomes. Mahomes going against Baltimore, though. Seattle going against New Orleans at home. I got burned. I started Russell Wilson first week in our DraftKings.
Did absolutely nothing too.
Against Cincinnati. Then he bounces back going East Coast, puts up big numbers, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think if you can start Patrick Mahomes, you've always got to start Patrick Mahomes.
Always play Mahomes.
He's a machine.
Always play Mahomes. Russell says, well, Coach Dice segment won't help me with my Auburn Texas A&M wager, but I am picking up a Patsy Cline LP. I knew Coach had to like that kind of music. Boy, Patsy Cline was good.
Oh, yeah, she was really good.
I hope you're enjoying that documentary through 4 parts. A couple of you told me last night it got to be too long. You can't watch it all.
Okay,
it is 2 hours a night, 7 parts.
So that's Ken Burns.
Yeah. Patsy Cline was not a one-hit wonder. It wasn't just crazy.
It wasn't just crazy. Okay. But by the way, they pointed out that of all the jukeboxes in America, and apparently 1 year there were, I forget the number of how many was, but there were over $1 billion in nickels back when it was a nickel a song. 1 year, there were $1 billion in nickels put into jukeboxes around America.
A billion, Jim?
There's no Ken way. Burns would not lie to me.
Ken Burns has been smoking that pipe a little too much. There's no way. How many nickels is $1 billion worth of nickels?
Over 200.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no way.
That's a... Everyone who watched that documentary last night did not mishear it.
He's flinging facts like we do here on the roundtable. I'm going to throw this one out, too. Patsy Cline's Crazy was the most sung karaoke song by women from the 90s up until 2000.
Oh, I believe that.
But do you know who originally wrote the song?
Yeah, they pointed this out last night.
Willie Nelson.
Boy, he must have been a spry, 30 then?
He sold it to her. Willie Nelson apparently was bad with money early on. He gave away two hits.
You're talking about a guy that went bankrupt like 5 years ago and was doing Taco Bell commercials to pull out IRS debt?
I don't think he outgrew it.
His two first hits, he gave away for $200 cash. He needed the money that bad that he got no royalties. And then he gave
He traded for a dime bag.
A song called Walls. He sang at Tootsie's. This is all from the documentary. I don't know this on my own. He was just going to give it to a guy, and the guy's like, here's $500. I'm loaning it to you. Don't give away your royalties on this song. I'm going to make it a hit. And the royalty check came in for $14,000, and this is back in the 60s. You know how much money that was. And he was going to just give the guy the song for $500. The guy gave him $500, said, pay me back when the royalty check came in. $14,000 came in, and Willie went down to Tootsie's and kissed the guy on the mouth.
Oh, wow.
Pat and I didn't make that in a season at CFL.
That probably makes the music stop at Tootsie's for really good.
It did. Went,
okay, so outside of Crazy, if she was not a one-hit wonder, what else did she?
Well, she died.
Walking After Midnight.
Well, did she die at 30 or something like that, Patsy Cline? How'd she die, Dunaway?
30. She died in a
plane crash.
Plane crash.
God, that's gotten a lot of people.
LT's biggest fear.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's my biggest fear. I'm just not a huge fan.
Well, I mean, think about how many big music acts of the plane crash got.
Yeah. Well, it was those private planes back then. Her manager was flying her, though, a big mistake. And, of course, two other artists were on board, and he flew into a rainstorm, and he wasn't trained well enough to fly into a rainstorm.
JFK Jr., right?
Yeah. A lot of people. It gets them. All right, 7:03. Anyway, part five tonight of seven parts. Good it goes off forever.
Well, you are fully invested.
What are they covering tonight?
Let's see, 53.
It seems like they haven't left enough parts for, current country music, like Garth Brooks and people like that.
I'm betting that it's probably going to stop at Garth Brooks.
Yeah. Garth is going to be the end.
I'm getting the feeling Ken Burns did this documentary because he doesn't like Luke Bryan and those guys.
Florida Georgia Line.
Georgia Line ain't going to be in this thing?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sensing that he doesn't like modern country music.
All right. Okay. Bro country.
So basically that's 20 billion nickels, right, if I'm doing quick math?
Yeah, I don't believe that fact.
People who saw it last night, you had to see it.
There's no way.
$1 billion of nickels in jukeboxes is what you just said.
$1 billion in nickels.
I wouldn't believe 500 million in quarters.
Well, I was staying a little warm with the Woodford Reserve last night.
So right. Well, I want to ask million, you, because I pulled up next to Dunaway at a red light this morning, and he looked through me. You know, one of those looks. Like he'd been up for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like he was a walker on The Walking Dead. Yeah. So I think you misheard this last night. I'm guessing.
No. I think it was $1 billion in nickels.
No, really, how long did it take for you to engage me this morning to know it was me?
I had already pulled off.
And then I saw you kind of look around the shoulder. I finally thought it was me after the 3 minute sit at the light.
Well, a lot of people don't stare at you at a traffic light at this time, 4 a.m, whatever time it was.
You stare at people in pools and across the room.
I make statements.
Miss those
to them.
Days.
Yeah. I was going to give you the headlines, but there's nothing out there. We're just ready for football. If you're an Auburn fan, what's the one thing you're worried about this weekend as you play Texas A&M?
I'm worried about young mistakes from Bo Nix. This is that first.
Like turning the ball over?
Yeah, turning the football over. Look, he's only got 2 picks through 3 games. You go back against Oregon, and look, I know that was on the road, but you heard earlier this week Gus Malzahn said, well, we had more fans than they did in that building. It's going to be, 95% Texas A&M fans? It's one of the loudest venues in college football. And you worry about Bo Nix making a freshman mistake against that Mike Elko defense. I think points are going to be a premium. You turn the football over, you give Kellen Mond a short field. That could cost you the game.
But I don't know, and I'm being honest about this. This isn't just a guy in Birmingham saying this because Auburn's a state team. I don't know which quarterback I think will make more mistakes. Freshman Bo Nix making his fourth start or Kellen Mond, who's probably making his 20th start?
Oh, don't trust either one right now.
I don't know how many starts Kellen Mond has made, but it's a lot. I mean, which one do you think makes it? You can't say, like, you know, if
well, the least talked about part of Auburn's defense is their secondary, which has grown up. They played a lot of football together, and it's grown up to be really good.
But my point is, if this were Auburn, Georgia, in this same exact situation, I'd feel 100% confident Jake Fromm makes fewer mistakes than Bo Nix. But I don't feel that about Kellen Mond. I don't feel the same way about
Kellen. Look, I agree. The momentum Mond had coming off of 2018, you know, the question was, or the debate was, you know who the best two quarterbacks in this league are. It's Tua and it's Jake Fromm. Who's that third best?
We talked about Frames and Mond.
It was good. And Joe Burrow was never in the conversation outside of Dunaway bringing him up.
Nope.
And Joe Burrow has solidified himself that guy at least 3 weeks in. But Kellen Mond has been really inconsistent. I agree with you, Brown. That's why I think one of these defenses will win this game.
Yeah, I just saw Kellen Mond, Jim, in that game against Clemson look absolutely horrible in the first half. And this will be – I mean, I think the Auburn defense and the Clemson defense right now are pretty comparable, don't you guys?
Yeah, three interceptions this year already. None last week against Lamar. So in the first couple of games, he's got three interceptions, five touchdowns, three interceptions. He was a 24-9 guy last year, and when he first got into the starting role, eight touchdowns, six interceptions. So he does have a tendency to turn the football over.
23 career starts, by the way.
23. Okay, so I said 20. I was close. So, I mean, what Clemson was able to do was put pressure on him, and Mond did not react well at all to that. I mean, he crumbled under the pressure. He was throwing incomplete passes. He was fumbling the football. I mean, he just looked terrible. So, I mean, look, Kevin still, Clemson gave him the blueprint on Kellen Mond, and he's got the athletes to replicate it.
But go back and look at Mond and the difference in College Station and on the road.
Well, and that is the difference. I don't know how much of it Mond was shaken by the Clemson crowd. I don't know. I mean, you'd like to think a guy making his 22nd start or whatever, probably would handle the road crowd better, but I don't guess he did. He will be at home. And that's the thing you worry about with Bo Nix. He's never been in an environment like this. Look, he may thrive on it. Yeah, this is what you don't know about freshmen. I mean, Bo Nix may thrive on being in a road environment.
Mike is right, I think, in calling this an ugly game because you do expect the defenses to control this game a little bit. He thinks the Auburn defensive line wins the game for Auburn. Jay says the entire offensive line worries him a little bit, mainly offensive line opening holes for the running game and the pass protection. When you look at Texas A&M's defense, do they have a Myles Garrett over there, or do they have someone that stands out as a future NFL star like they've had in the past, a Von Miller or Myles Garrett?
Well, I don't know if they've got a Myles Garrett. I mean, obviously, and Von Miller, I mean, those are special, special players, but I think people do consider this unit one of the better units in college football.
Give me the –
And it's not as good as Auburn's, obviously, but, you know, my question would be, how healthy is Derrick Brown?
Give me the point total. Yeah, and that's a big question. He missed a lot of that game last week against
– And that's been really quiet.
Kent State, yeah.
On that injury.
And it was just weird because he went off because of exhaustion. It wasn't an injury, really. He went into the tent and went into the locker room because of exhaustion. What do you think the point total – what's the minimum point total I could give Auburn fans right now? And they said, I'd take that. We don't play the game. Like, in other words, the minimum point total I could give you where you feel like you win the game.
Oh, 30.
That's the minimum? You think Auburn will score 30?
Minimum.
Yeah, the minimum.
But I think Auburn fans would feel great if you were like, you're going to score 30 points.
Gosh,
I think
yes.
They'd say, yeah, we win this game.
Yes. I'm asking the minimum, though. Where would the line be drawn?
20.
You think 20?
Yeah. I think today's college football, I mean, it's hard to play a game in the teens and win a game.
I think this one could, though.
Yeah, no, I think it plays like 20-17. I mean, as soon as I say that, I think it'll play out like that. But I don't think you're going to be really comfortable saying you can score less than 20 and still win this
Dunaway,
game.
If you were Gus Malzahn today and I – told you I'll give you 20 points, would you think about it? Is that the minimum for you?
No.
You think it takes more than that?
Yeah, I'd want to play a little bit. We'll play a little bit.
24?
Try to get 24, 27.
24 would be where you'd want it?
Again, I don't think I'm comfortable until I get to 27 to 30.
Gosh, I just don't think there'll be that many points in this game. You think it'll be higher scoring than I do.
No, I think it's a low-scoring, ugly game, but what happens is that turnovers can lead to some –
Yeah, that's what scares me.
Yeah, that's the unknown.
It's such a small total. I mean, when you look at this total, this is like a 32.5, 33 in the NFL. We're sitting at 48 right now, which is an extremely low total. When you think about it, if you go to overtime 17-all, you just need a couple of scores in overtime, and this game's going to go over.
Yeah, so that's a 230. And by the way, you're catching a break weather-wise if you're Auburn. because what we're going to experience here with the 80s today, according to Stephanie Walker from WVTM 13 Live Doppler Weather Center, they're going to experience the same thing, a lot of rain during the week, but it's going to be, you know, right at 90, which is a blessing this time of year, coming off of a lot of rain right at 90 during the game. So it's not going to be the hottest of hottest days in College Station. So that's a break for Auburn as they go on the road to play Texas A&M in the heat of the day at 2:30 coming up this Saturday. So it's a big game there.
Yeah, it was about this time when Alabama went out there and you were there, and it was blazing hot then, yeah, wasn't it?
It was actual back temperature of 100 with the heat index at 112.
Yeah. Mason brings up something Auburn has struggled at, and it's the hidden yardage here in kick coverage. Auburn's punt coverage has not been good this year. In fact, one of the worst in the country. And like he said, boy, home crowds, they thrive off big punt returns. That'll flip a game for you.
Well, I will tell you that's what scares me, obviously, with Alabama a little bit this week, though they did a good job at South Carolina. But this, I mean, if you're a betting person, how many points is Southern Miss getting? This Jalen.
38, right?
Jalen Adams, the kid from Minor High School, one of the better kick returners in America, already has 3 touchdowns this year. The redshirt sophomore was 11 catches, 180 as well. It's hard to get a hand on his 5'10 frame. Southern Miss brings some playmakers into Tuscaloosa. I think they score some points this weekend, too. We talked about Quez Watkins, another receiver from up in Athens. They got some Alabama guys with a chip on their shoulder playing Alabama this weekend that are playmakers. So I think they, you know, get a touchdown here or there, these Alabama kids.
And for the record, A&M 6th nationally in punt return yards, 20 yards per punt return.
Yeah, and Auburn is dead last in the conference. So listen to this now.
In punt coverage.
Now, look.
Good point, Mason.
It's a small window because we're talking about 5 returns, so that is a small piece of data. But South Carolina is 13th in the conference, giving up 16.5 yards per punt return. Auburn is dead last in the conference, giving up 35. It goes from 16 to 35 where you find
Auburn. Yeah, and it is a small sample on both sides. I mean, A&M's only had 6 punt returns in 3 games. So, 120 yards on those 6 punt returns for 20 per.
But it's enough data to be concerned about.
This is 7 p.m. on TMC, one of my favorites. Probably the best Civil War movie out there, Glory, with Denzel Washington and Matthew Broderick.
Man just wanted some shoes, didn't he?
Morgan Freeman, an old Morgan Freeman, which is crazy, from 1988.
Yes, he's never been young.
And then 8 p.m. on ABC tonight, they have The Last Days of Phil Hartman. I don't know why that's
very sad. Such a funny guy,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I just don't understand why.
His wife got him, right?
He has a murder-suicide.
Yeah. So sad. God, he was so funny. I mean, he's probably, I don't know, doing like a top 10 Saturday Night Live guy. But right. For me, he'd be in my top 10 funniest Saturday Night Live actors or whatever you would call that. Would you agree?
One of his best endorsements was on Saturday Night Live was Colon Blow.
So funny.
Yes.
Cereal fiber. And then 9 p.m. on Epics for people that are about to have a baby. This is a good one. Rosemary's Baby.
Oh. Is it that time of year, Rockstar, already where we're doing the horror films counting
down?
Yeah,
that starts. And then next week is pretty much premiere week. Every single show, and we should have over-unders, how many episodes these shows
yeah,
have.
I think
let's do that every day.
Because there is a lot of premieres next week.
Do that just every day. If you'll view them and you give us the premieres of new shows, and we will take a bet on how many episodes they get.
Ooh, interesting. I'm willing to do that.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Somebody's got to keep up with it now.
7:53 on the show. Josh in Birmingham is next. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Fine, Jim. I would like to talk about Alabama football for a minute. I think that they're doing really good right now, and that I think they're going to do really good this weekend, too.
Yeah, well, Southern Miss is a team that could battle for the Conference USA Championship, so it is probably a little bit more of a challenge than some of these out-of-conference games are. And I mentioned they're talented playmakers, both from in the state of Alabama. Jalen Adams from Minor High School and Quez Watkins from Athens High School. It'll be interesting to see how the defense handles those two receivers, Brown, and whether or not you're able to, you know.
Yeah, you seem a little not worried, but
I'm not worried about the outcome of the game.
Sure, they're going to win the game.
But I am concerned at a special teams touchdown or some miscommunication with 4 true freshmen on defense. maybe allowing Southern Miss to score some points.
Yeah, they'll score some points, but I go back with Southern Miss.
Well, what's the betting line? Is it
38.5?
38.5
is what it is right now.
And if you're one of those people that bet on that, if they score some points, that makes it difficult for you to win that bet.
I go back to the Mississippi State game, where Mississippi State, who now we've seen State lose to Kansas State and look in doing it, 38-15. Rockstar actually saw this Southern Miss team. He scouted this Southern Miss team last week. You were at the Troy game, right?
I was, man. It was a fantastic game.
Was there any defense in that game?
No, there was no secondary on either side. But this is the first time I've ever witnessed a 100-yard kickoff return followed by a 100-yard kickoff return. Yeah.
Back-to-back 100-yard kickoff returns. But go back to what you said. There was no what?
Secondary.
Secondary.
I mean, they were just throwing it, both teams throwing it all over the place.
So if Troy can throw it all over Southern Miss, what do you think Alabama's going to do, Jim?
One of our poll questions out there from our friends at Cowan Equipment, built with Cowan Equipment, is the roundtable poll. Your authorized Takeuchi compact equipment dealer. I nailed it.
I think so.
Yeah. That's our friends at Cowan Equipment. The best group of five quarterbacks so far, 32% of you saying Dylan Gabriel of UCF leading the way. They play at Pitt this week. Start us off, Brownie.
UCLA is at Wazoo, late game, 9:30 ESPN. UCLA is 108th in the country against the pass. They face Washington State, who's good at throwing the ball. Anthony Gordon, 78% completion percentage, 1,324 passing yards already, 12 touchdowns, 2 picks. Guys, he's averaging 441 a game through the air. That is 48 yards more per game than the guy that's second. 48 yards per game more.
I don't
know
the biggest price we've seen on a DraftKings
guy. That'll be heavy.
But that's going to be a $9,500 player.
It's worth every dime of it. He will light up UCLA.
What about you, LT?
I'm going to look at the primetime CBS matchup, Notre Dame taking on Georgia. DeAndre Swift only got 31 touches through three games, averaging over 9 yards per carry. He'll average over 9 yards per carry against this Notre Dame defense, which is allowing 224 on the ground. I think he gets somewhere around 20 touches. I think he goes close to 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns. I think Kirby Smart, if given the chance, will run it up against Notre Dame.
Will run it up.
Hey, they don't see him again. The point was given to me last night from a Georgia fan.
You don't have to go to South Bend next year, do you?
For me, I'm going to go with that LSU team that we saw have a really, really good game down in Texas. They're playing Vanderbilt up in Nashville. I respect Derek Mason as a defensive coordinator, but I just think this LSU offense is too much with Oklahoma State's receivers and some other opportunities that you may get elsewhere. I think Justin Jefferson has another big game for LSU from Joe Burrow. So I think Justin Jefferson will be my fantasy player to watch this weekend.
If you could swap any one object in your house for the best or most expensive version of that same object, what would you choose?
Well, the funny line here would be wife, but I'm not going to say
wow.
That.
Wow. Yeah. Girlfriend for Ariana Grande? Funny to who?
Funny to the listener. It's not my answer, though.
Yes.
I think I would go, so the house that I'm in currently, they had one of these custom fridges because the way it was put in the kitchen, it's a certain size, but it leaks water every now and then. And I think it's time for a new refrigerator, but they're expensive. So I think I would go a Sub-Zero fridge is what I would
like. The ones that have, like, the touchscreen Wi-Fi. And
I mean,
it seems so over the top.
There's a camera inside
of it. You can spend $15,000 on one of these refrigerators, but if you're giving me the option to replace something in a house, because, you know, to me, televisions are kind of, I don't want to say they're all the same now, but it's a little different game now.
You can get too big with the TV.
They're almost disposable at this point, the television. The wife and I have actually, we're going to have to make this purchase very soon. We have a very old oven, and it is time for a modern oven. So we're making the switch soon.
It's been broken for 6 months, and Maggie just now realized it? Is that what you're saying?
Wow. I'm going to get pile on the one that's getting me in trouble. Now you're going to get in trouble.
Clothes, bro.
Go ahead and say something, LT, so Maggie can be mad at you, too.
Saving it for second day.
Mine would be the shower in the master bath. I'd like one of those big. We got a good shower, but I'd like to take it up a notch. One of those big. It's got nozzles coming from all directions.
Yeah, you've got to have multiple nozzles if you can. I mean, it's a good thing to have.
Second down.
What have you come to accept that it's never going to happen?
The completion of construction on 5920 between Birmingham and Tuscaloosa. Like, we're getting warnings now. Hey, if you're coming to Alabama games, I'll see it on Twitter. Be ready for traffic backups. I'm like, well,
that's been going on in the Price Day.
That's been every year since the Bryant administration, I believe.
For me, I'm never going to win the lottery. 5, 17, 29, 34, 44, and 47. I've even stopped playing it. You know, there was just a moment in time where, you know, when my imagination would drift, thought about what I would do with those winnings.
Right. But you don't even buy tickets anymore.
How many people in the room thought Lance was going to say this?
Let me see.
I know.
That's still a possibility. Yeah. You guys laugh. It is. At least for me.
Yeah, have fun.
I think is never going to happen. I don't think I'm ever going to get that soccer body that I've always wanted.
Really?
No, yes. Dude, you're there.
Yeah, keep working, Jim.
I'm this close to purchasing a bike. I was talking to Stephanie Walker.
Please be a Peloton. Please be a Peloton.
No. One that's really outside so I can ride in Oak Mountain State Park because my running days outside seem to be down to their very last few.
That bike ain't going to get you that body.
Yeah, I'd go Peloton if I were you. I'm with Rockstar. I think that's going to be better for you.
You're going to need to go to a gulag for a couple of months.
Is that like a prison?
That seems extreme.
Yeah, it's a Russian prison where you're not going to eat for a couple of months. And then we're going to have to get you the best personal trainer in the world.
Mm. Do you commit?
Are you in?
I don't like any of this.
Third down.
At what point did you discover that your kids had some of your good/bad genes?
Well, these are my wife's good genes, but the first time my oldest started making grades, she's an A student, so I knew I just literally thanked God she didn't get my academic. Wimp's right. I was very lazy as a student. Wimp is correct on that part.
Yeah, I think all four of us were. Is that fair?
Yes.
Yeah, I was quite lazy as a student. I don't deny it.
This is a C crowd right here.
Yeah.
For me,
C's get degrees, Lance.
The good was the full lips my kids have. The bad is cowlicks.
Cowlicks.
Cowlicks are tough, man.
I had a lot of them before I had lost hair.
my daughter's emotional like me, and my son is easy to anger like I am.
Those are the bad ones? Well, good and bad. Emotional's not necessarily bad.
No, she's emotional. Like, she cares about people. Oh, that's good. She genuinely loves them.
And that's good.
You can channel anger in good ways.
Yeah.
Fourth down.
You could.
It'll get you to a place faster, right?
How far does someone have to be to qualify not holding the door open for them?
Boy, this is tricky because I'll run from the parking lot a lot if I see somebody pulling up at the same time because I'm one of those, if you're 20 feet behind, I'll hold it and wait. So you try not to make eye contact.
Yeah.
If it's within 20 feet, you got to hold it, and it's just a hassle. So I'll try to beat people in.
I'll even give people the old, no, you don't have to rush.
Yeah. No, this is subjective, but if I think they're going to have to run to get it, like if they feel compelled to speed up, then I won't do it. Does that make sense? Because that's so awkward. Like, I'm holding it, and they run, and I'm like, you didn't have to run.
Also, if you see that somebody's doing it for you, you're going to try to speed up a little bit. Some people that don't even pick up their pace. But working at a building like this where you have a key fob, you see somebody coming in. You come in the morning, and you see Dunaway just turning in. Do you wait for him?
No, not a bit. Nope.
No.
Not a chance.
You know, in a big city where you know nobody, if I'm at the door and you're right behind me, I'll hold it and pass the door on to you. But big city, I'm walking straight in.
Yeah. Be honest. Now, we walked in together today. But you put your key fob to get past security to get us up the elevator. I was a little slow getting into the elevator for you. You were a little impatient.
I don't even remember.
I can sense it.
Interact with us on Twitter @JocksRoundtable.